Joining me this afternoon for a special Pit Lane Parlay episode is Indy Pro Championship leader and contender Louis Foster, driving for Exclusive Autosport. First off, man, how are you? And how's the week going up before the last couple races?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good. Thanks for asking. As per usual, just back home, you know, getting ready for the weekend. Obviously, this weekend's our finale in Portland. Training, staying fit and healthy, right, you know, doing all the above just to make sure we can end the season on a high.
Before we talk Portland and how the season's gone, for those who maybe aren't as familiar with you and you know, on the Indy Pro side of things, how did you first get into racing?
I started like most drivers, to be fair, from a young age. You know, my family has been involved in motorsport for many years back in the UK. So my dad chucked me in a go-kart when I was like five or something like that. So from a young age, really, it's kind of all I've really done. You know, dabbled in other sports here and there, but the one that really stuck was motor racing. You know, and then from there on, we just kind of progressed up the ranks, really. I mean, at first it was more of a hobby. You know, I wasn't one of the kids who have been, you know, who've come from Europe and they've done European karting and they've been set from a young age to have a career in either IndyCar or Formula One. You know, we only really saw it as a career potential probably 2 or 3 years ago. It was always a hobby up until then, just a fun thing to do on the weekend as a family.
So what was the realization that clicked for you and the family that went, okay, this is a cool weekend hobby too, I can make a career out of this?
It kind of clicked in my first year of car racing back in the UK in Ginetta Juniors. Again, karting wise, I wasn't particularly, I didn't do many of the big karting things. The only karting I did was very local, fun stuff. It was just the local kart track. We just went and had a bit of fun. And then, you know, first year of car racing in Ginetta Juniors, which is basically in essence a bit of a Mazda MX-5 type thing.
Okay.
Yeah, after our first year, we had already been crowned rookie champion and we had the most points overall, but the way the championship worked, I didn't win the championship, unfortunately, but it was very, very close in my rookie year against third year drivers. So at that point, we kind of realized that, you know, there was some talent. So we decided to pursue it. And the following year, we did F4 and kind of since then been climbing up the European ladder and then made the switch to America this year.
Awesome. So real quick, before I continue on, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned playing other sports growing up. What else were you into? Was there a chance that you were going to continue that as you got older or not so much?
I mean, I've always been quite an athletic person. I've always liked to do sports, blow off some steam. My personal favorite is rugby, which I know you guys don't usually play, but yeah, I used to play a lot of rugby back at my school in the UK. Unfortunately, I had to stop because I kept getting injured and it was gonna start affecting the racing. You can't really drive very well with a broken thumb or a broken collarbone, so it's not the best sport to play in you know, comparison to racing. So
yeah,
I enjoyed that. I miss it a bit, but also at the same time, you know, I can't really risk getting injured because it's quite a physical sport. It's kind of the European/British version of football that you guys have. So yeah, a bit of that, and then also just some other things. Did a bit of hockey, a bit of track. Yeah, just a bit of everything, really.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. First off, big hockey fan here, but rugby is crazy how intense it is. But I'm curious, yeah. You know, you did, you know, F4 overseas, and you came here. What was the driving force that led you to the road to Indy? I know there was an article on, I think, the Indy Pro website that came out today kind of talking about that, but you know, what was the driving force, and then how special is the road to Indy?
So start off, the driving force really of me coming over here. I'd done 3 years racing in, well, 2 years racing in the UK, 1 year of F4, 1 year of F3. And then last year I did Euroformula, which is basically a European Formula 3 championship. And, you know, my view was that the road to Indy offers something that to be honest, no one else in the world is offering with their scholarship money to help talented drivers progress up the ranks, because everyone knows nowadays that motorsport has become very, very money orientated, which makes sense, but it does mean that there are difficulties for drivers who don't have, you know, billionaire dads. So for me, it was really the scholarship money. And on top of that, there's a lot more opportunities. I mean, you know, F1 nowadays is a bit of a joke, really, for young drivers. You know, you've got kids like Oscar Piastri and Nick De Vries and, you know, recent IndyCar driver Callum Mylott, you know, all who really deserve to be in F1.
Yeah.
But they just kind of got pushed aside. But whether it be by older drivers staying on for their 75th year, or or billionaire dads who come in and buy out teams, you know? So it's just, it's a different world out here in America. And I feel like you guys appreciate, you know, driver talent over money. Whereas I feel like in Europe, it's the opposite. So that's why I came out here. I just think there's a lot more opportunity. And it's also a lot more of a fun lifestyle. I mean, you know, racing in Europe last year, I raced with the German team, and, you know, there's only one way I can really describe them, and they were very German. You know, this isn't a bad thing, but sure. The joy kind of seemed to slide away a little bit sometimes, and it was a bit intense, whereas here it's a very nice balance.
I'm curious, you hit on something I've said a few times over the last few years, is the F1 ladder system seems to be kind of broken. It just doesn't really seem to work when you have multiple guys like you mentioned Eilat, and I think, you know, Robert Schwartzman is another kind of recent example. Is there like one quick fix that you would say, hey, if this changed, things would be better, or is it too far gone?
I mean, I could give you many changes that they could do. But it all lies within F1 management and the F1 teams, really. I mean, it's all financial. I mean, the way teams used to look at future drivers 20 years ago, you know, look at someone like Lewis Hamilton. You know, he got picked up at young age and he was paid his entire way up to he got his entire career supported by McLaren. But that just doesn't happen anymore. You know, the view of F1 teams is, well, let's just let them pay all the way up to F2, and then if they're good in F2, we'll pick them, you know. But at that point, you've already spent $7 million getting there, so
sure.
You know, you can't, and you got to have also a good, you know, as a family or as sponsors, have great cash flow and be able to do that. And I mean, it's expensive, and on top of that, there is no prize money, there is no reward, really. The only reward you get is a pat on the back, a trophy, and maybe a good deal for the next year. That's all you get, you know, and there's nothing's guaranteed, nothing. So that for me, it's just like you're investing so much time, effort, money, all these things. You're investing your entire youth years to get to Formula One, and you know, it's just like you can just be washed away. I mean, again, one of my best examples is Callum. You know, he's one of my close friends, and you know, I feel bad for him because he realistically should be in F1, but you know, he's not. So again, I'm going to stop having a rant about F1 again. I do like it. I've got a lot of friends who are in F2 and F3. Sure. So, you know, I'll let them kind of do what they do. But for me, it just made a lot more sense to come to IndyCar. It the lifestyle seems more fun. It's a lot more laid back and enjoyable as a driver. And of course the RTI has an amazing support system that, like I said, no one else in the world is doing. And I think that's really great. And I hope they continue it for future generations of drivers.
I agree. So on that note, Indy Pro 2000, you've got a 77, is my math correct? 77 point lead. Yep, 77. Heading into the triple header this weekend with 99 points available, you need one 11th place finish to secure the championship. Do you allow yourself to kind of think ahead to, hey, I'm the champion, or are you not kind of thinking that just yet?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
Well, I mean, of course, we're in a very nice position to be in. I'm not going to go out there and be like, oh, I'll just mosey about and get the 11th place. I mean, I still want to win races. You know, I still want to try and increase the amount of wins and increase the amount of points between me and second place. So, you know, if it was like a 30-point lead, I'd probably go in with a bit of a different mindset of like preserve and just make sure you finish and finish in front and that kind of stuff. But with this lead, I'm going to go all out guns blazing because, you know, I've got a bit of room for error and I want to win some races. So, again, I'm not going to throw it into the wall or into the side of another car.
Right.
But, you know, my aim is to go out there, put it on pole and win races.
I love it. So you race at a lot of cool tracks that IndyCar gets to on a yearly basis. Is there one track this year that, I mean, assuming you are in Indy Lights next year, that you're super excited to get a, you know, a little bit more speed in the car at that track?
Yes, but they don't race there, so it sucks. Toronto okay. Was really good fun. I really like Toronto. The street courses, again, this is my first year ever driving on a street course. Both at St. Pete and Toronto. I really enjoyed it. It's so rewarding. Street courses, there's no room for error, and it really creates a gap between like very good drivers and decent drivers. I feel like to have the commitment, you know, when you're going past a concrete wall at 140, 150, and then, you know, next year it'll be 160, 170. Those I really, really enjoy. It's very rewarding to do a very good quali lap. So I would say Toronto, but again, I don't know if Indy Lights going to race there next year. They didn't this year, but if not Toronto, then St. Pete. Definitely looking forward to doing a street course in the Indy Lights car.
So if you're a street course fan, I'm sure you watched Nashville. I know I don't think Indy Pro was there this year. So what are your thoughts on the insanity that is the Nashville street course?
Yeah, that was I watched some onboards of that, and that was quite interesting. It looks very tight and technical and twisted. It looks like a lot. It looks hands on, you know. Especially the second part of the track. Again, I don't know the track very well. I just saw some onboards, but the kind of like halfway through the track, it was a very twisty section. You know, it's corner then a corner then a corner then a corner, and it's all very quick and fast, so that was quite fun actually. So I'm looking forward to hopefully racing there next year.
I love it. So you got a couple ovals this year as well in Lucas Oil, Indianapolis Raceway Park, and two weekends ago in Gateway. Do you wish that, I know Indy Lights also had Iowa this year, do you wish that the road to Indy had maybe another oval or two to get you ready for IndyCar, where you go to tracks like Texas, like the Indy 500, and, you know, other tracks that are a little bit more high speed that maybe will make a return on the schedule one day?
Yeah, I mean, for Indy Pro, for myself, again, first year racing in America, never even touched an oval before, so it was definitely a big learning curve, and it still is. I'm still learning a lot, so I'm by no means a pro at it. Even though I won the first one, I think that was you know, a bit of all the stars aligning, to be honest with you. But I still think there's a lot to learn. There always is. So, you know, two ovals in Indy Pro, I think that's a good amount. They could put another one in there, sure. I think they need it. It would be helpful for drivers like myself who are new to it. The only thing I would say is I've talked to some Indy Lights drivers, and a few of them have complained about there not being a super speedway in Indy Lights.
Yeah.
You know, they all go from that kind of medium-sized ovals, and then if they jump into IndyCar, they're like straight into the 500, and they're like, what the fuck? But yeah, so I think that hopefully they add a super speedway on the calendar next year. I don't know if they've announced the schedule for next year, but hopefully they do add a super speedway just to give, you know, the Indy Lights drivers a bit of a warning, should sure. we say, you know, yeah, no. But yeah.
I think that would definitely be helpful, even if it was Texas. If yeah, assuming like Texas, I know they got rid of the
Freedom. What was the one before?
Freedom 100.
That's the one. The Freedom 100. You know, I wish they'd I wish they'd kept doing that. Obviously, there's reasons for them getting rid of it, and I kind of understand the reasons. But still, I think Lights drivers need a bit of a dip their toe in the water of super speedways before they get into the fast Indy cars.
Sure. So, you know, kind of looking at your season as a whole, is there something going into your 2023 season, whether it be, you know, racecraft or qualifying, et cetera, that you like really want to improve on as you start your next season?
I mean, there's room for improvement everywhere. There always is. No one's a perfect driver. So, I mean, if we can improve in every place a little bit, that obviously be helpful. I think the biggest thing that hindered us this year, especially towards the start of the season, was my qualifying, getting used to the Cooper tire. It's a quite a hard compound compared to what I was used to previously. I've talked about this quite a lot recently with other Indy Pro media. You know, I think our mid season pace was purely down to qualifying better. I think our race pace and our race craft hadn't changed much all year. It was purely because I was qualifying up the front now, and then I could really stretch my legs and kind of show the speed that we had. So I think if we can get a hold of the new Firestone tires that are going to Indy Lights, then yeah, I think we should be good to go. I mean, again, it's another new compound of tire, a new tire brand that I got to get used to, but you know, that's what you do in your junior years. You learn and develop.
Yeah, definitely understand that. So let's wrap it up with a couple non-racing questions here. First one would be, you know, in your free time, what do you do for fun? Is it go out, see movies? Is it sit on the couch and watch Netflix, music? What does Louis Foster do in his free time?
I have the joy of living in Los Angeles, which is very nice. Oh. So there's quite a lot of things to do. Yeah. Obviously, there's lots of pros and cons to the city, and everyone has their opinions. But I enjoy it. I've been here for about a year. I've got a good group of friends here. You know, most of my spare time, you know, it's kind of, my day is very much the same every day. It's wake up, train, eat well, and then hang out with my friends. And, you know, we do a lot of car stuff in LA. There's a very, very nice car culture out here in LA. So, and a few of my friends have some quite nice cars that some people might sometimes see on my Instagram account. But yeah, I tend to just have fun with my friends here, and we just, you know, mess about and have a bit of fun, really. Yeah, nothing super unusual. I don't, you know, do ballet on my weekends for fun. There's nothing like that. It's just plain old train and get ready for racing. A few video games here and there, but now I'm 19, so you can't blame me.
Listen, I'm not 19 and I still play plenty of video games, so yeah. I have no room to talk there. But wrapping it up, we have a underutilized Pit Lane Parlay driver Spotify playlist. So each driver who comes on when we are able to sit down and do an interview gets to add a song of his or her choosing. So if there's any song you like before a race or for training, I will add it to the list and wrap up the interview.
Oh, wow. This is a very powerful position you've put me in here. You do know you're speaking to a British person, right?
Listen, some of the songs on this playlist are completely ridiculous. So I would be surprised if it's more ridiculous than a few things that are on here.
Okay. I'll give you my current favorite then.
Okay.
It's a song just came out called Propeller by J5 featuring Dave.
Yep.
Yeah. One of my favorite artists is Dave, a UK-based rapper. That's a very, very good one. And it's a nice summer song. So if anyone's going to listen to the playlist, I'd listen to that song in the next few days before it comes September and we're into fall.
I love it. Yeah. Listen, we have country, we have metal, we have rap. We have a little bit of everything on this playlist.
What's the name of it? I'm gonna pull it up on Spotify now and never listen to it later.
I will text it to you afterwards. It's okay. Literally, I think it's just Pitland Parlay Drivers Spotify playlist. I'll look for it on my Spotify here in a minute. I just saved that song so I could add it. But yeah, I'll share out the playlist again for everybody listening in our Instagram story. So check that out. And yeah, man. Well, listen, good luck this weekend. Hopefully the championship hunt is stress-free and look forward to seeing you hopefully in Indy Lights next year.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, hopefully that's what we'll be doing. But yeah, thank you very much.
No problem. Yeah, no problem, man. Have a good one.
Cool. You too. Thank you.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.